Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, I'm your host, Evan Setter, and joined by co-host Brendan Kleen. You can follow me on Twitter at esetter. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at brendankleen14. Also, make sure to follow Locked On Suns Twitter page if you aren't already. I'm already noticing a lot of growth over there on our page, so go over there and hit our Twitter follow button there at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support there is very much appreciated. And Brendan, I don't think either of us expected this tonight. The Suns are all of a sudden one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Four straight wins. They're now 8-24 in the season. They won the Boston and TD Garden and just upset the Boston Celtics 111-103 to drop the Celtics to 18-12 in the season. Let me just toss it your way first, Brent, because I'm still kind of in shock after what just happened.
It's been pretty wild to watch, honestly. The identity of the team has basically shifted to energetic, just kind of blitzing defense, arms everywhere. A lot of youth compared to what I think a lot of people would have expected this team's rotation to look like early in the season. Obviously, new faces that weren't even around at that point. And, you know, they're building on what progress they made, I think, at the stretch right before Booker re-aggravated his injury and, you know, really multiplying it by two or three and putting together a stretch that, you know, I thought might be in this team when their schedule eased up a little bit in the new year and in February or so. But I really was not expecting we would see them beat good teams four times in a row. It's been really awesome to see from this team, and hopefully it's a sign of growth in the future.
I think we'll hit on this guy really deep in our free throw segment, but just really quick, your thoughts on Kelly Oubre tonight?
It just added pretty clearly. I mean, the dude played the entire fourth quarter, basically played the entire second quarter, closed the game, closed the half, like I said. So It was noticeable what he brought, and I think that was a surprise. I mean, we heard a lot in the beginning of the year about how tough some of the learning curve was for players that had been around or even some of the young players just entering into the league. And so Oubre coming in and just really not missing a beat was incredibly impressive. Made the biggest shot of the game late in the fourth quarter, a three to really stretch the lead out to where Boston wasn't going to be able to come back, and made his presence felt right away.
Now, I guess I should just go right into my first free throws here, which is actually Kelly Oubre, who will be my first one here. And he finished 4-12 from the field with 13 points, 6 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, 2 blocks. And like you said, burned 26 minutes, played the entire fourth quarter, was a huge momentum swinger. As far as defense goes, he was really using a 7-foot-3 wingspan really well tonight. What was your, I guess, the defensive impact? I didn't really notice it that much in Washington. I've heard from a lot of people that he didn't really try that much on defense in Washington, but I guess if you get a really motivated and pissed off Kelly Oubre, he just got traded. I mean, he looks like the guy who was supposed to be a lottery pick.
Been really crazy, yeah. I mean, I still have hesitancy about what he will exactly be on defense. I think he was really necessary in this matchup just because Boston, you could see it with TJ Warren's struggles, 7-20 from the field for him, and I think he was incredibly frustrated in that first half. Boston's just such a unique matchup because anyone that plays the 2, 3, or 4 for them is completely interchangeable from Tatum to Smart to Brown to Hayward. All those guys are all big, physical. They all can handle the ball. So on both ends of the floor, they're just tough. So I think Oubre just made things a little easier. There might be other matchups, other nights where he's not as effective, but the shot making and the confidence was really what it was for me that stood out. The, you know, that shot at the end of the game wasn't wide open by any means, and he nailed it and went to the rim against Jason Tatum earlier in the fourth quarter to make a tough shot when the Suns offense was kind of stalling out. So the length will clearly help. It's something that Trevor Ariza had that was useful, that made his defense impactful. And so to get somebody in Oubre who's pretty similar, not as big, but pretty similar, and somebody who's going to be a huge boost to the offense, which is what we saw already tonight. I think the Suns probably were never going to miss a beat losing Trevor Ariza because I don't think he was making that positive of an impact overall. We've talked about that plenty, but Oubre is a guy who really just is going to allow them to keep clicking like they were before he came over.
Now, one more quick thing on Oubre here. I noticed that tonight it was really fun to watch him alongside Josh Jackson and Mikal Bridges. They ran out a point book lineup featuring those three guys around DeAndre, which is really fun to watch. Hopefully we see more of that going forward. But you kind of previewed this on Twitter a little bit, Brendan, when you mentioned this after Oubre's comments a few days ago about him being motivated. And you were telling me on text as well that he's going to take a lot of shots. And I'll admit, you're around the money there. Were you kind of surprised with how much shots he was taking?
Yeah, I think that confidence is obvious when you watch him. I mean, it's a guy that his second year when he basically started with the entire Celtics bench in the playoff series and took big shots throughout his career in the playoffs. He's been in big games already, which I think some of that stuff gets a little bit overrated sometimes because it's not like Oubre himself was responsible for those playoff berths, but the ability to stay on the court in tough matchups, I think, is what I was hinting at with just what Boston, kind of the challenges they pose and his value in a matchup like that. I think that's the reason he was so valuable to that Washington team, even if there are some complaints in the past few seasons when the going has gotten a little rougher for that team. But yeah, he's going to take shots. And I think that's good. I mean, we were kind of thinking like, maybe Austin Rivers before they cut him, was going to be more of a bench piece for that exact reason. And if Oubre can provide that offensive balance for the second unit a little bit, I think that's going to be really helpful for the team just as much as the defense will.
Let me toss it back your way, Brendan. Who was your first free throw?
It's going to be DeAndre Ayton. I think we talked about it just before we turned the recording on, and it was a little bit of a weird game from Boston's standpoint. They were without Al Horford, and Aaron Baines injured himself, broke his hand, and already has been announced he's going to miss around a month after undergoing surgery. It seems like from what the reports were noting that surgery happened immediately, like tonight it's already going on. So he'll miss a month, and then they were down to Daniel Theis, a guy who missed the end of last season, a journeyman from Europe, and then Robert Williams, who was really impressive, but is a rookie playing his, fifth or sixth NBA game at this point. So Ayton was able to really take advantage and dominate and kind of do what he did to Enes Kanter in New York against Theis late in the second half, especially. 8 offensive rebounds for Ayton and 23 points, 18 total rebounds, 10 of 14 from the field. So another matchup where one of the big things we had been hoping to see from him for weeks now, for really the whole season, was just knowing when he had an advantage and taking advantage of it. And so he did it against Kanter, as Devin Booker clearly noted in a great way on Twitter, going at Kanter in the pick and roll, and did it again to Theis tonight. And I think that's what he has to do because we've said it so many times, he's going to have that advantage. And 23 and 18 is so close to that 2020 that his teammates have been talking about all year. And I think the Suns will take it because he really dominated.
I feel like we're getting really close to that game, like we were talking about before on the podcast, where I think there's going to be a night where everyone's going to defer DeAndre and he's going to have like a 30 plus point game here really soon, in my opinion. But like you mentioned, he maintained his efficiency tonight. I think he's one of the better big men as far as efficiency goes in the NBA. And it's hard to deny, Brendan, how comfortable he looks, especially even since the benching from Igor. Whatever Igor said in Portland, I mean, you look at his stats and you look at before then, like whatever he said has really changed his mentality.
Yeah, I mean, it could have just been the benching itself, that reality check we saw with Josh Jackson last year. Jay Triano took a similar method, didn't even play him in an entire game. Ayton just had to sit on the bench a few minutes, but Jackson didn't play. It kind of worked for both guys, I think. So, we've said it before, like tough that it has to come to that for a young player, but at the same time, the results are pretty clear with Ayton that he's really taking advantage. And as for what comes next, maybe when we see that really, really dominant performance, is he's got Thomas Bryant over in Washington the next game. So it could be coming soon. But what's your second free throw?
My second free throw, I'm wavering a little bit here, but I'm going to go with Booker. I was thinking about Mikal Bridges here, even though he had a small night as far as the box score goes, but his impact on defense was really felt. But I'll go with Devin Booker here, even though he didn't have the most efficient night. Finished with 25 points, 8 assists and a steal and 2 blocks, 9 of 23 from the field. But I wrote in my recap tonight on Brightside that I think this might have been the best game defensively I've seen Devin Booker play since I've been covering the team.
Yeah, he was making it kind of impossible for the Celtics to attack him. And I think that's, really big for the Suns, because we've seen already the impact that Melton and Bridges have had. Warren had a little bit of a frustrating night on both ends of the floor, despite getting up to 21 points with a good big third quarter, especially end of the third quarter run for him. But it's going to need to come back to Booker eventually, because, you know, he is the weak link on, in a lot of lineups defensively if he's not competing. And Kyrie in the beginning of the fourth quarter was, they were getting Booker switched onto him in space. Booker was making Kyrie work, and I think it really limited what the Celtics were able to do. And we saw Irving dominate the fourth quarter in Phoenix when these teams met, in a game that ended much differently with the Celtics' comeback. And I think Booker's defense, especially in that fourth quarter, was a big difference in preventing that comeback tonight.
I think we saw this a little bit in Houston when James Harden started trying a lot on defense, but how much of that spreads around? Because we've heard the buzz were contagious about Rashawn Holmes. You hear it now about Josh Jackson. How much is this energy around this team as far as effort and hustle goes spreading to a guy like Devin Booker? Because it seems like it really is starting to get to him a little bit.
Yeah, I saw in your recap, you said it almost the flip of how I've been thinking about it. You know, Booker, the star player competing on defense is one thing, but I feel like he's getting it from the other guys. You know, it might not even be that he's setting that precedent. It kind of feels like he's looking around and seeing these young guys competing their butts off on defense every night and creating loose balls, blocking shots. And you mentioned Bridges. I'm pretty sure he blocked a corner three on someone tonight, and they didn't give it to him in the box score. But those guys have been making such an impact. It kind of seems like he's looking around and being like, wow, I got to, you know, get in line, because this team, they're upset, their identity is kind of changing around him. And all of a sudden, he is the weak link. And so it kind of feels like the other way, where the young guys are encouraging him, even though that kind of seems backwards from a leadership perspective.
Yeah, just to recap really quickly, Booker did have 6 turnovers tonight, 8 assists, so the assist turnover ratio wasn't there. But one more thing on Booker I wanted to hit on before I go back to your second free throw, Brandon. How much do you enjoy the point book lineups, especially with the addition of Kelly Oubre? Now, like I mentioned earlier, you have Oubre, Jackson, and Bridges, 3 guys who are just hands havoc on defense around 2 sub-defenders like Booker and Aiden.
Yeah, this actually goes into my last free throw, my second free throw, which is, it just was the defense. The versatility on the wing on defense especially was the key, I think, in this game. So Oubre is a big part of that. Having a playmaker like Booker that can handle the point guard spot when Melton and Crawford both were a little off tonight. They had 10 assists to just 4 turnovers between them, so not without an impact tonight, but not their best games, not really the lineup that made them a ton of sense with the versatility Boston had. So to have the wing depth now with Oubre and his two-way play and Jackson hitting some kind of miraculous, to be honest, shots today, just the defense, the ability to go to a few different looks with a little bit smaller without sacrificing defense when Melton's on the court, to, you know, Holmes kind of brings a little bit of a different presence than Ayton, even a little more switchable, a little more bouncy and energetic. So I think they've found 9 guys now that really make sense, can play together, and you can mix and match them in a way that you don't really sacrifice too much in any one area when anyone's sitting on the bench. And point book's definitely a big part of that. But even when Booker is on the court, kind of how they use him, how they craft a rotation around him has kind of solidified in a fun way the past 4 games.
Yeah, it's really been fun to watch. But I guess we can transition over into our second segment here. I don't know that there will be much to talk about as far as flagrant fouls. Before we get into that, I wanted to touch on really quickly our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you're not already, pause this podcast or just go over to your Twitter app you're listening on your phone. Follow at Locked On NBA Net. It's by far the best asset, in my opinion, as far as NBA Twitter goes. It's really going. I know our followers are going up there every day. I know we're pushing a lot here. I know we're pushing a lot throughout the network, but I'm telling you guys, it's a really fun. We're really doing a lot more cool things. We're doing a lot more video content. If you saw or follow the Locked On NBA page, you would hear me yesterday talk about the 3-game win streak, now the 4-game win streak for the Phoenix Suns. So we're doing a lot of cool things over there on the Locked On NBA Twitter page. And just to make sure, go over and follow at Locked On NBA Net, because I follow it, Brennan follows, and you should too.
I want to also tell you guys about Homie, the coolest, most innovative, interesting new way to buy and sell your home. Coming into Phoenix from Salt Lake City, Homie is going to save you a ton of money, is really the best way to put it. You've been hearing me talk about these guys for quite a while now. Really excited to tell you about what they have to offer. And that's the main thing, like I said, is to cut out the unnecessary hassle and price of buying and selling a house. Homie charges a low flat fee, so you don't have to pay high commissions when you sell, or you know, extra money at the end when you're trying to just buy a home and relax and get settled, then there's just this barrage of extra money on the back end, and Homie wants to cut that out. So what they do is sell any priced home for the same low cost of just $199 to list and $1,299 at close. So that means that on average, Homie customers save over $10,000. When you buy a home with these guys, you can qualify as well for up to $5,000 on a buyer refund to help with those closing costs. They can also help you get a loan to make the process of buying your dream home even easier. They sell homes faster as well than the overall market and individual agents. So like I said, you know, you're kind of seeing these guys quicken the process and they make it cheaper. What we're going to do to top it all off is get you $100 off that listing fee. So you're going to go to homie.com or use the Homie mobile app and use the promo code Locked On at checkout to get $100 off that listing fee of $199. So it'll be just $99 to list a home with these guys. They give you this entire team of realtors and attorneys and the platform and the low price. Go check Homie out and see everything they have to offer. Use that promo code Locked On to get $100 off the listing fee. Yeah, so it is kind of tough right now to narrow it down. Once again, I mean, team that hasn't won four straight games in over 2 years, it's like, we're really going to come up with something bad, but maybe we can go on the Celtics side. But what do you have?
I was thinking, I think we're the DeAnthony Melton High podcast around here, but if I want to be fair here, I think this is by far Melton's worst game being a starter, probably in his NBA career so far too. He only played 16 minutes. He really struggled in the first half, and once Kelly Oubre and Josh Jackson got going, he didn't really get any minutes. But I'm kind of picking nits here with DeAnthony. He finished with 0 points, 5 assists, a steal, and 3 turnovers. He also had a really big offensive rebound too, but he only played 16 minutes, like I mentioned, 0 of 2 from the field. He really badly missed a shot too. But what was your thoughts on Melton's performance tonight? Because it wasn't that bad, but I mean, if we're talking about all 9 guys, I think he was the worst of 9-man rotation.
Sure, I would agree with that. I think he just a weird matchup. You would have hoped maybe he could take advantage of Kyrie Irving a little bit more. Just didn't get on the court much. I think Igor really liked what he saw from Kelly Oubre tonight, and they went with the point book look for quite a bit of this game. But yeah, I think Melton needs to get a little more aggressive on offense. You know, there were a couple open shots from the perimeter. He just doesn't, we've talked about it a few times, that Mavericks game was another example. He just doesn't have the explosiveness right now or craftiness to get off his own shot, a good shot around the rim right now. So I think he, you know, kind of overthinks offense a little bit sometimes, where he's kind of too focused on setting his teammates up and trying to make the right play that he ignores open shots. So it does feel a little bit like picking nits, but because it is a trend, I think it is fair to point out, because it looked an awful lot like the Dallas game tonight.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you have any as far as the Sun side, or did you want to go to the Boston side for your flag and throw?
I was going to go to the Celtics just because I think we're right. There's not a lot to do on the Sun side here, but I think it's down for me on the Celtics side. Kind of got off to a good start. I think he made his first 2 shots and then just really fell off. I think he airballed a 3 at one point, wasn't really able to get going on defense against Booker or, you know, even Bridges on defense. So just a weird night for him. I from what I could tell from Celtics Twitter tonight and throughout the season, it's been a really inconsistent year for Jaylen Brown. He had a few big scoring nights the past couple of weeks, but just inconsistency we're not used to. I mean, he was starting on a conference finalist last year, so I was expecting a pretty big game just because I thought Mikal Bridges would be physically, those guys are, you know, Jaylen's at a huge advantage there, and he just wasn't able to make the most of that tonight. And I think that was a big reason. 0 of 3 from 3 for him, 3 of 9 from the field, really made no impact on the box score. So tough night, and when you have a starter really put up a dud like that, it's tough to win.
I know this is a tad bit off topic here, but it's related to the Celtics just a little bit with the Anthony Davis stuff. But with the way that the Boston's played through 30 games, 18-12, and the young guys like Jaylen Brown haven't really been doing well this year. Rozier had a good game tonight. Tatum's been inconsistent. Do you think that some of these young pieces that Boston might have thought last year were going to get them Anthony Davis might be losing a little bit too much value?
I mean, they still have a ton of picks, so doing something at the draft would be, I guess, not possible still, because Kyrie Irving will still be under his contract. So maybe not the draft. But It is. I think Brown is the, especially, I mean, that's the guy, right? That's who was kind of supposed to be the headliner of this deal. Now, the other guy that could be was Tatum, and he had a pretty good night. He's so fun to watch, but 7 of 17, not his most incredible night. He had another weird one against the Suns last time around, but it's definitely worth thinking about every time you watch this team, because over on the other side of the country, this one was in Milwaukee, but Anthony Davis just lost to Giannis and the Bucks tonight. Another loss there, 15 and 17. So the biggest story in the league right now, right?
Oh, yeah, that is for sure. I think that's kind of the cloud hanging over the NBA for the moment.
Yeah. Well, before we go on to our final segment here, give you guys some numbers to think about before we head out for the day, I want to tell you guys about the Locked On NBA show. If you didn't check out Monday's episode, it was me and the Washington Locked On Wizards host and the host of Locked On Thunder talking about their hot streak. But the Oubre swap, that was before Austin Rivers got cut, so it was, you know, in another layer since then. But go check that show out. Go check out everything else that's happened this week over on Locked On NBA. The same great topics and style of our show. 30 minutes, just get over to the gym, listen to a quick episode like you do with Locked On Suns, subscribe to Locked On NBA and check out everything they're doing, because that show continues to grow and we're doing a lot of fun stuff over there. So we don't want you to miss out on that either. All right. My stat to watch tonight, that assist to turnover ratio was not as good today, but I think I'm actually going to go with 22. Another area of growth for this team over the win streak has been getting to the free throw line, and they did it 22 times today and Boston only got 14. At one point they showed it on the broadcast, the Suns were 10 of 11 from the line and Boston hadn't attempted a single throw. So wow. I think that was a pretty big advantage for the Suns in an area where they really haven't gotten out to an advantage much.
Yeah, that is a really interesting point. I didn't even realize that during the game, but is that just more of, I think it's aggressiveness with the guys like DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, because I've noticed it, especially with Booker since return from his hamstring, that without his athleticism beforehand, he wasn't able to get to the free throw line. But if this is the same old Booker we knew from before the injury, he looks like he's back to his normal self. He can get to the line about 8 to 10 times a game at this point.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the health for him, feeling confident going to the rim. Even Oubre got, you know, 4 free throw attempts up tonight. I think he's another guy who, even a little more than Ariza, is kind of has that athleticism to get in and finish around the rim, that layup through Tatum's defense that I mentioned toward the end of the fourth quarter was an example there. He didn't get fouled on that one, but just that kind of play is not something Ariza really was comfortable doing. And I think Oubre is going to add that dimension there too. So I think it's a combination. I mean, you look at it and the guys who got to the line tonight were the stars. It was Ayton, Booker, and Warren for the most part. So they're going to be the guys with the ball in their hands and they need to make things easy on themselves by getting to the line. And Booker's health as well as Ayton's aggressiveness, I think, are the two biggest ones. But, you know, even a guy like Warren, you know, he's going to be played physically, as we saw today, as teams kind of account for his shot. They're going to make him drive. And so he's going to need to pick up fouls. And he did that tonight too.
I feel like my stat to watch is pretty simple here, and it's 3-point percentage, 40.7. I feel like whenever this team hits around 40 to 50% of their threes, either they're winning the game or they're really close in the game. They're usually competitive. And that's kind of a telling story. They didn't get the 33 pointers that Igor usually wants, but 11 of 27 for 40.7%. You have guys like Booker, Bridges, who had a great night from three, Oubre as well, 2 of 4 from three. I think just adding in and being confident from three is going to really help this team moving forward.
Yeah, Bridges was impressive on that. He had one where he missed a pretty open one, and then on that same possession, I think it was an offensive rebound got kicked back over to him, or it might have been the very next possession. I think it was in the second quarter, and he nailed one, even a little more contested, right after the miss. So he's a pretty automatic shooter when he's open already at this point, and that's really good to see that. He's really already a pretty solid 3-and-D guy for this team. That's kind of crazy. And even without Ariza, like the spacing on some of those point book lineups tonight looked even better than it did with Ariza. I just feel like with Bridges, Warren, and, you know, Oubre on the court, you can't leave any of those guys. And Booker, you know, with the ball, when the ball's not in his hands in a possession, that's even more spacing, because you definitely have to respect Booker. So Somehow a team where shooting was such a struggle after they benched Ryan Anderson and Isaiah Kanan wasn't making consistent shots. Now that's like a strength of theirs. It's pretty wild to see.
Yeah, it's really crazy how this team's identity is forming around shooting and defense, mostly just energy plays. It's really awesome to see. But the Suns played Trevor Ariza and the Washington Wizards on Saturday, and they play the Orlando Magic after that.
Washington game is just going to be beautiful on both sides. Oubre is going to score 50. Ariza is going to punch someone. I'm ready for it.
What do you think, Brennan? I was looking it up. I think the last time the Suns won five games was, I think, 2013. I think six games might be even longer than that. What do you think about the possibility of this stretching out to five or six games and maybe the Suns getting a little bit more national attention out of it?
Well, national attention, I think that might just scare them away. They haven't had a positive national story in a decade, so I don't know about that. But they have Brooklyn on Sunday, which I forgot about too. So Washington, Brooklyn, Orlando. But those are all winnable games. I mean, the Nets are playing pretty well recently. I think they've won six straight, if I remember right. So yeah. That'll be kind of a fun game. Two young teams, Jared Allen and Ayton rematch after that weird way that they just let off Ayton. I don't think they'll play him again this time because he's been a little more aggressive and he'll take advantage. But Washington should, they're not playing well. They've been pretty bad this year. And Orlando, we already saw the Suns play them pretty close without Booker or Warren. So don't speak too soon, but this streak could stretch. It's not like they have the most tough schedule. Boston was definitely the domino that needed to fall to have it be imaginable even to get that far. So knock on wood, but maybe we'll be talking about another streak come Saturday.
Yeah, that's for sure. And wanted to tell you guys again, the final score was 111-103. The Phoenix Suns have won four straight games for the first time in 3.5 years, which is still crazy to say here. But that'll be it for today's episode, guys. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow for our latest.